Well, hello, everybody. I'm Carrie L. Quinley, and I'm the host of Carrie L.'s HeartLink radio show. And we are broadcasting our light today. I have a wonderful guest today, Freddie Silva. And in a moment, we'll go to him, and we'll be speaking about the crop circles. But for now, I just want to let you know that this is Talk Radio, and we are on the cutting edge. And I'm bringing some wonderful guests to you that are speaking on topics of raising consciousness and the ascension process and special health care and the latest events that have been going on in the dimension that we're in, or whatever that might be. And, of course, it's multidimensional time, so... And today, I wanted to also let you know I will be broadcasting every other Wednesday, starting today. So I look forward to being on more and, of course, bringing more of the vital global communication that we're involved in. This is revolutionary, our broadcasting on the Internet. And we look forward to hearing from our listeners. I have the phone numbers to call if you're interested. We'll be taking calls at the bottom of the hour. Let me see. The U.S. toll-free number is 877-876-5227. And the Canada toll-free is 888-815-9756. The international direct is 530-876-3222. And we'll be speaking about crop circles today, and this is a subject that is dear to my heart. I have been researching the crop circles since the early 90s. And I've come out with a special oracle deck of cards called the Crop Circle Cards. And many of you may know about them already. Or you can go to my website, cropcirclecards.com. And you can purchase them online there or at Amazon.com. And Amazon.com has been selling them now since, the late 90s. I came out in 93 with the first edition, and then the second edition was in 1998. So they've been around for quite a while. And if you just want to go to Google, you can put crop circle cards in that, and my crop circle cards will come up first on the list. So I'm excited with our guest today. He has been very much involved. He's one of the foremost experts in crop circles. Freddie Silva. He has come out with a wonderful book we'll talk about, Secrets in the Field, or In the Fields, The Science and Mysticism of Crop Circles. He's a researcher, international lecturer, and a lifelong student of Earth mysteries, sacred space, and ancient systems of knowledge. He's appeared on the History Channel and Discovery Channel and has numerous video documentaries and has been interviewed on the radio shows throughout the U.S. So welcome, Freddie.
Well, hello.
I wanted to find out a little bit more about your background. First of all, why don't you tell us something about yourself?
Back when I was three, I was drawing pyramids on sheets of paper, and I guess I was a bit different even back then. I've always had a small interest in esoteric matters. In fact, when I was growing up in Portugal, you know, my accent actually betrays my original nationality. I used to hunt around for dinosaur eggs and things like that. I would just love the mysteries of the past and the mysteries of the earth. And after many years of taking a side route into the wonderful world of advertising, as a creative director, slowly came back into the esoteric world, again by the subject that you discussed, which is the crop circle phenomenon. When I was in Chicago, minding my own business, ironing a shirt, watching television with the sound turned off, and saw this program. I don't know what it was. There was this wonderful image of this design in the middle of a wheat field somewhere in the world, and I knew exactly what it was when I looked at it. And I can pretty much gauge the fall of my professional career in advertising at that moment and the rise of my interest in earth mysteries, especially linked to the crop circles, and eventually from that into sacred space and sacred sites in general, and how all these places are influencing human consciousness. So that's a pretty sort of short synopsis of my very, very bizarre life.
Well, you are quite, then you have been researching the crop circles for quite some time, and what have you found out? What's going on there?
Discovered a lot of things that I really had not considered or even was looking for in the first place, because I really approached the whole thing with a very open mind, or knowing full well there was something very otherworldly about these things. And again, I had to approach it from a experiential point of view, not just reading books. I mean, I spent a lot of time in England actually doing the hands-on work and getting the direct hits of energy from these things. And it's a very, very complex story. You have all kinds of things going on here. In fact, what you have is a mirror of humanity itself. We're talking about geometric shapes, which are essentially forms of energy which interact with the denser layers of our atmosphere and our material world. And they're based on the principles of light, sound, and magnetism. And all of these things are scientifically validated. And when they hit the ground, these sort of thought forms from a creative universe create these wonderful shapes. And we go in there, and we examine things. We go away and ponder what the meaning is. And then, being human beings, we fight over the origin and the meaning and the wherefore. And it's almost like watching a human circus take place. In a way, it's very funny and also very sad at the same time, because today what you hear in the media is the fact that the whole thing is a great big hoax. Which is really not the truth at all.
It's sad.
And on the other end, you've got a scale. You have people who believe the whole thing like a fundamentalist religion. And then there are people like me who are caught in the middle trying to say, well, there's a bit of both. I mean, there are people who go out and make designs in fields, but that does not make a crop circle because there is no energy in those things.
What percentage would you say are hoaxed?
It's very impossible to say, because you would have had to have analyzed every single one of 11,000 designs in 29 countries, dating back to at least 1678. That's a lot of work to do. It varies by year. I mean, for example, in the early 1980s, when the phenomenon sort of really rose its head in the modern era, I'm talking about 99% genuine. By the time it became a sort of a quasi-religious movement in Britain, with tens of thousands of people traveling from all around the world to see and experience the energy of these things.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
It's very palpable, this stuff. The government decided to sort of put a stop to that and created this great big thing called Doug and Dave, who claimed to have made all the crop circles, which we then researched and found that actually they had probably made two. The whole thing was a very well-orchestrated media pun, which, of course, the repercussions of which are still with us today. The phenomenon sort of went underground for about 2 years in 1992-93 as a repercussion of that. A lot of hoaxing around there, but then it resurfaced again, and I'd say that the high point was about 1999, when, again, we're seeing about 80% of designs being genuine, and since then it's been falling backwards. And I have to say that, you know, doing personal research, that the last major design in England was definitely 2003, and for the last few years it's been nothing but hoaxing. Although
you're saying that this year you don't see any that would be a viable, authentic crop circle then?
No, not a single one in Britain. They're happening a lot here in North America. We've had a few simple designs which do look like the real thing. And it's funny you should mention that, because only a few weeks ago I was getting a bit frustrated with always having to mention the word hoaxing, because obviously I would like to have something else to go on. But, you know, this phenomenon goes up and down. It follows a sort of a sine curve, and some years you get a lot of genuine, and some years you don't, because these things are imprinting energy into the Earth system, and the Earth can only absorb so much. It has to be given time to absorb this information, So some years you're going to get more man-made, some years you're going to get more genuine ones. And a few weeks ago, I was expressing this frustration to somebody, and I said, you know, I really would like just even just one, just to say that this year has been worth studying. And a week goes by, and someone sends me a picture of one in a field where they always seem to send me a message in England, and right there is a huge 100-foot circle with a ring around it. And it's the real thing. And the irony is that no one's actually been in there to actually study it.
Oh, what date was that?
I think it's because we've got caught up in the whole sort of aspect of how big can they get and how incredible can they get. And
yeah,
I think
so the more simple ones we're not looking at so much.
I think we're looking at the superficiality of it all now. Mm. And I think by not actually creating any crop circles, the circle makers are actually showing us a mirror of ourselves. We're so caught up in the whole visual aspect that we forget to look under the surface, because that's what the phenomenon really is about. It's about the energy. It's about what does it do to plants, to the water, how does it actually influence the human body, its state of awareness, its connection to other levels of reality. All of this is documented and we know it works. And I think it's trying to say something, that we're so caught up in the superficial aspect of the designs that we're all following the more impressive things that happen in the fields, when in fact, ironically today, most of the impressive ones are actually made by people, in collusion with farmers and things like that. So it's by not appearing, they're actually showing us the whole problem that exists in human nature. So I think it makes a very profound statement indeed.
Mm-hmm. Very fascinating. It really is a sign of the times, isn't it, that we have ego wars going on in all sorts of ways.
Oh, absolutely, and it's also interesting that years ago it was also predicted by a couple of very, very good, reliable psychics in Britain, who the police actually worked with on many, many occasions. They said that the phenomenon would eventually sort of quieten down in Britain and it would go abroad, and I'm very pleased to see that here in North America we do get many, many genuine cases of crop circles, although they tend to get reported a bit too late because the farmers don't want the attention. So it's very reassuring that the energy is appearing here in the land where we really could do with a bit of help.
Have you been into any of these here in the U.S.? I know you live now in the U.S., so... Where are you traveling to? Are you going to crop circles at all? Or?
I'm worldwide. I've been to New Zealand and Canada this year, and I'm still traveling all over the place. So I travel all across America, and
for lectures, you mean, or for?
I'm always lecturing, and since the book came out 5 years ago, it's still selling and still doing well, and I'm still pushing it on tours. It's just
well, let's push it right now. How do we get a hold of your book, and what's the name of it?
Oh, how opportune! It's called Secrets in the Fields. It's now in 3 languages. So if you happen to be Chinese or Russian, you can also read it, and you can go on any of my 2 websites if you want to just. Look into the crop circle phenomenon. That's available at cropcirclesecrets.org. Or if you want to follow the connection between the crop circles and ancient sacred sites, there's also invisibletemple.com. But either way, if you just Google my name, it'll come up about 200,000 times, and you'll find my website. So if you want to support your author, do buy it directly from me.
Yeah, I totally appreciate that one. Same for me. If anybody wants to buy my crop circle cards, go to my website, cropcirclecards.com.
Exactly.
Although Amazon is selling, I'm sure, your book as well, isn't it?
Yes, and I get about $1 for each one that they sell.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
It's life.
Well, I have gone to your website, and it's fascinating, and unfortunately I haven't been able to get a copy of your Secrets in the Field yet. You were sending one to me. Somehow it got, ambushed.
I have to flagellate the publisher. They actually sent it to you, FedEx, about 2 weeks ago, so I'm not sure what's happened to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure I'll get it eventually, and then I'll be able to even, maybe I'll have you back on the show. but I did read several of your articles on the website, and one comes from the Secrets in the Fields, speaking to the sound, and I found that fascinating. I thought, you know what, since I've been involved in this, and like I said, it's been, 2 decades, I have heard sounds in the crop circles. I've even mentioned that on my website and newsletters that I've written about the crop circles. And I find it fascinating. Over the years, many of us have heard these. Well, I call them like it's like a cricket or a clicking sound that I've heard.
Oh yes.
And you have synthesized what all of us have been saying in such a articulate manner and understandable to anybody now. And I find this fascinating. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about that?
It is actually the most important part of the phenomenon, and it was told to us many, many years ago, again through channeled sources, that when this phenomenon would appear, because at the time when it was channeled, no one knew what a crop circle was. It was only validated a week later after the information came through, so there was no risk of collusion from that part. And part of the message that was received did talk about the importance of sound as a formative factor of these designs. And when you look at them visually, they actually matched a lot of the designs geometrically that you get when you throw sound into water and you photograph it. Hans Jenny, the Swiss scientist, being the most famous person in our modern lifetime who's done this, and now a man in Germany called Lauterwasser, who's also photographed geometric shapes in sound using geometric shapes in water using sound. And a lot of them do mimic the actual shapes and organic forms of the genuine crop circles. The other important thing is that because we are dealing with sound, we're dealing with vibration, and implications are very important, because whenever you interact with these designs, and if you've been in a genuine design, you will never forget it. Because as you said, first of all, you get to hear these sounds that sound like a very annoyed cricket, and it leaves a buzzing in your right ear, which stays there for about a year. It's as if someone's feeding you information. Mm-hmm. It can be annoying and pleasant at the same time.
Downloading something into our
Oh, absolutely, yes. It was information that was being downloaded for a later date, and I've referenced this with several other people who've also been doing research, and they've had exactly the same situation. And, little did I know that what they were downloading into me was a full book, because I still don't know where half of this book came from.
Uh-huh.
It just sort of came, and it makes a lot of sense.
So much of my work has really developed out of my experience through the cross circles, and I too, like you, are doing very, I think, in cutting edge healing work, and we'll get into some of it, what you do. But go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
It's a long story. It touches on this on many, many levels. Another level that it touches is the fact that when I began to actually look back at the information and start to scientifically validate what was going on, I did manage to find a lot of evidence to support the act of sound in the creation of the crop circles. And one of the things that really staggered me was that when you actually work with sound above and below the hearing range, and when you attach acoustic pressure to it, very interesting things start to happen to physical objects. And for one thing, sound below the human hearing range has the incredible power to actually alter molecules and the crystalline structure of objects. And that's exactly what we found in the plants taken into laboratories from the genuine crop circles, that their crystalline structure has been altered. They also have these blown nodes, which are the plant's knuckles. They have little holes in them to show that the water has been superheated on the inside of the plants, and it blows out. It creates a little hole in the nodes, and the water blows up and evaporates out of the plants, which means the plants have been free to fall flat on their face and reharden in a new horizontal position. But incredibly, they are not actually damaged if this happens early on in the growth cycle of the plant. So we actually have laboratory evidence to show that this would be actually the case. And every single feature of sound above and below the human hearing range does account for every feature in the genuine design. So it is by far the most important aspect of the design of the crop circles, because these sounds, these frequencies that we've captured, also ally with our DNA and also with our brainwave patterns. So when people talk about having heightened states of awareness in the crop circles, I totally believe them, because that's exactly what is happening. You are having your entire vibratory body manipulated in the good sense of the word, and you are having your entire structure of your memory systems awakened, and the whole purpose of the circles is indeed to awaken humanity to its fullest potential. So we can corroborate this with hundreds of people who have actually written reports too.
Well, I talk about the Great Awakening on my website, and so many of us are doing, I guess, some important work in helping to facilitate that. Where do you see this great awakening going? What is this about?
If I had $1 million for the answer to that question. I think it's really down to us. I don't think anything's really written in stone. And part of the thing that people should be aware about this phenomenon, and in fact any other phenomenon, I mean, we could be talking about Christ, the Buddha, whatever, mm-hmm. Is that these things are sent to us by other levels of reality of which we are a part of. To help us. They're not here and they have no obligation to actually bail us out of any problems. We actually have as a consciousness, as a group consciousness, to get our act together. And what they're doing is that they're sending us little nudges, little messages to get us to wake up. And, you know, people like you and I and many thousands of other people who've given up their day jobs to do this at you know, enormous expense sometimes, you know, emotionally, physically, and financially certainly, you know, it's something that you don't undertake easily because people recognize the importance of this work and what it means to bring information to humanity. And what we're doing is slowly tending our gardens. And the people over the fence will look at our gardens and say, I think I'd like to live like that. And then they tend their gardens in the same way, and then they will then share that information with somebody else. And the ripple effect will slowly have an effect on the greater amount of humanity. And if we choose to reach a critical mass, then a change to another level of reality, a higher state of reality, will then ensue. But I think it's still on the cards as to whether we're going to hit this or not. I think that we're very, very close to hitting its critical mass. On this planet. You don't get to hear about it because good news never makes the headlines, but it's there. I see it when I travel around the world and many, many people, this sense of hope amid this hopelessness. So I think we're very close, but it's still too early to call whether we're going to hit that. So I guess the best thing we could do is just keep doing what we're doing, quietly, slowly, holding that light, and if enough people join that light, then the change is going to be, you know, it's going to be incredible because there is a wonderful process in physics which talks about the chaos theory, that if there's a system that's in chaos, the greater the amount of chaos, the greater the jump to a new level of order, which means, of course, that if we look at our world right now and all the chaos that we have, it's a very, very good sign. It means that we're doing our job properly because we're actually trying to establish a new level of order, and the level is going to be incredible.
Well, I agree with you. It really is. It's interesting that it sounds like you stepped back from going to England since 2003 because for whatever reasons. Is that correct?
Oh, the dollar wasn't worth anything.
you sense that there's just nothing for us really. See, I still am interested. Every year I post the ones that occur during the season, and I let people decide. I mean, I'm not able to go in anymore. I'm not going over there. I was leading every summer. It's interesting. I was having great tours over there, and then something happened at the turn of the millennium, and something started to, you know, shift. And I just wasn't drawn. I went in 2004 and 2005, but I didn't have any kind of group that I normally have, and I was practically all by myself, in other words, and I was thinking, this is so odd. The energy just isn't the same to me.
Yes,
and, you know, maybe it's just something I was picking up. So what you've picked up is something similar, apparently.
Yeah, and the answer is very, very complex. I mean, one has to do with the fall of the dollar. I mean, England is already such an expensive place to be in, which is why I've emigrated not once but twice back to the States. So it's very expensive to be there, but at the same time, there has been a shift. And also, in terms of what has been going on in the fields, it is important to know what's going on every year, for certain. You can't just turn your back on this and say, well, because there's nothing genuine happening, it's not worth looking at. There is something very important happening. Because, again, if you just take a look at the portion which is attributed to hoaxing, there is also a subsection of the people who are making this stuff who are doing it purely for spiritual reasons. Now, these people, because of their intent to want to connect with a high level of consciousness, go out in the field with the farmer's permission, and they make something. And I've been with some of them, and I can tell you that they, because of their intention, which is to try and communicate with positive sources, the designs that they make are not only very harmonious, but they also succeed in attracting to that point in the landscape the very forces of nature, which actually do get used to create the real circles. And I find that very interesting.
Because I agree.
It shows us there's something else going on here.
I certainly have been aware of a number of the so-called hoaxers, but they pride themselves in being in partnership with the circle makers. And, you know, John Lundberg and Rod Dickinson and Will Russell and all that group have been doing these for some time. And actually, some of them are pretty profound, but there's always something missing. And the energy is unmistakable, I think.
Oh, I think so. And that's because I know them, and they're working with the wrong intent. I mean, these people are, well, we're on radio. I'll keep profanities to a minimum because these people are working for completely the wrong reasons. I mean, it's all about deception. That has not come from a place of love. And it's interesting that someone actually mentioned to me that when my book came out, and they had a lot of unpublished information in it, and he said, you know, when this book gets released, the hoaxing is going to improve hundredfold because they know now what to encode in their designs. And they're getting better, for certain.
Mm-hmm.
But their intent is coming from the wrong place.
And, you can feel it.
It
truly, when you have been experiencing energies for so many years, and so many of the light workers know what I'm talking about, you can't mistake it. And intent really is the key.
I absolutely
agree. With you.
And Emoto has shown us the power of intent on the effects on water, let alone anything else. So, again, it just shows you that the positivity and the light and the effectivity of love certainly create far more beauty than anything else can. So, and again, that is also very, very true of the crop circle world, that the people who have been doing it for purely spiritual reasons are achieving something unusual on the ground. And I believe that is also part of why the crop circles are appearing. They're trying to show us that we can do this by ourselves. And I'm not talking about making the crop circle designs. I'm talking about bringing the power of the light through the intent of our work.
You see, bringing that vibration on and anchoring it to Earth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, the crop circle making really is just a method. It's like doing a book illumination or an illustration or creating some music. It's a means to an end. It's the effect that you create within your energy field, within you, within those around you, that I believe is the real thing that they're trying us to teach. So within the hoaxing as well, there is that sort of spark of spirituality in it. So again, it can't be dismissed either.
Mm-hmm. Well, and have you ever had any experience with any kind of UFOs?
Oh, yes. chapter 12. And there was, without going into too much detail, because it's a very, very long story, I have had quite a number of experiences, starting with the fact that I was originally raised as Catholic. I mean, I had no choice. I was brought up in Portugal. So it doesn't need any explaining. And so by the time I'm 35, I'm a staunch atheist because I can't see why God creates such an unbalanced and unjust world. But I get involved in crop circles, and that slowly and very, very quickly, I have my mind changed because the experiences that suddenly I am experiencing in the field inside these designs are really shattering the illusion of how the world really is made. And I now believe in a very very loving, very creative source, of which, of course, we are all part of that source. And some of the experiences that I've had have not only been involved with balls of light, sometimes as close as about 30 feet, and they have a very wicked sense of humor. I mean, these things are spirit forms in a way that we can actually process in our human mind. They're very kind, they're very genuine, very bright. But there was one particular experience when I went into a crop circle in the middle of the night to give thanks to the information that they'd given me, the guidance. Certainly I call them angelic forms. And the reply that I got back not only levitated me off the ground for about 45 minutes, I actually managed to cross over the veil on the other side, and the information that I've brought back since has been astonishing, and it's supported me for the last 6 years traveling around the world teaching what I've been taught, and it's brought a lot of pleasure to many, many thousands of people. So that was my unique experience with the actual circle makers, and I'm not talking about the people that actually, the group that call themselves the circle makers. I'm talking about the real circle makers. the authentic ones. So that was my connection with them, the fact that they sort of managed to pull me out of my body, take me onto the other side, and feed me all this wonderful information. And it's an experience I will never, ever forget.
Oh, I truly understand. I've had a photo taken, I think it was back in 1998 or 1997, and the ball of light was right there. There were two of us, and it was right in between us, above our heads, and we didn't know it was there until the film was developed, which is kind of fun in a way. But I did feel a presence in the, and this was while we were standing in a crop circle that we had this picture taken. So they definitely feels like they're monitoring us, or they have been in the past anyway.
Oh, they are.
And, yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah,
they're always around you.
No question that there's a spiritual hierarchy that is functioning in our universe, from my vantage point at least. And, you know, some people are turned off by the word hierarchy, but, you know, it's what can I say? There are highly evolved spiritual beings.
I think that's correct, yes. And I think it's a lot of experience. I mean, I was asking these questions in this phenomenon, and what I was told was, you know, the meaning of life is it's all about experience. A hierarchy, think of it in terms of experience. Some souls just have more experience than others.
There you go.
And that's what it really means.
And they have a great deal of compassion for what we are going through in our experiences as we, you know, that we step up to the plate and that we claim our spiritual. Our souls, basically, bottom line. You know, let's get
they're
right to
that. They're very envious, actually. They're very envious that we actually chose to undertake this journey into the carnate world at this tumultuous moment in time, because they actually do not understand emotion. We, being in the body, understand emotion, and they see emotion as sounds and colors. And whenever we have a sort of a negative experience, that you can imagine stepping back and going, "Ooh, that looks like it hurt." But of course, they're very proud and, of us, and always ask that we ask them for help all the time. They feel privileged to be asked all the time because they're here to serve. Because they know how difficult it is for us being down here, you know, with the soul trapped in the body, unable to escape unless you're in a dream world or in an altered state. And they're more than happy and supportive all the time, so they know how difficult it is. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm sure
all
that
have
most
to
of
do is sp- ask for their help. And
exactly.
Now, you are leading workshops, and I'm very interested in the kind of work that you're doing now with all this information. What can you tell us what that's about?
Yeah, it's actually evolved from the crop circles in, themselves, because I sort of retrofitted everything back into sacred space, and I'm talking about Stonehenge pyramids and things like that, having started in the crop circles and working my way backwards, which seems a very long way around to do things, but then again, I've got Capricorn rising, so I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to do things the difficult way. I began to synthesize all the information of the real crop circles, how they were made, how they were constructed, and also begin to look at how sacred space in general and all temples were constructed, and I found that they are all using exactly the same spiritual technology, as I call it. And I began to synthesize this into a way that I could teach people to actually create and build their own sacred site, their own temple, not just in their backyard, but also in their living room. And right now I'm sitting in my living room in a small apartment in Portland, Maine, inside my own Stonehenge. And you wouldn't even know it, but you can feel it when you're in this room. And people come in here, they know there's something unusual going on here. So I've been able to sort of synthesize that into a whole day. So
well, can you explain what you mean by that? I mean, I have these the visual of you know, these big megaliths.
30-ton rocks in my living room. No, you see, it's all about there are seven basic principles that you use to generate a sacred space. You have to work with water, with magnetism, with specific types of stone or crystal, specific geometries, which we call sacred geometry, sacred measure, and also the orientation of the temple. Once you put those things together, you start to generate your own energy field all around you. And you can either put up 30-ton rocks, if you like, if you're very adventurous, or in this case, since I don't like to scare away my dinner guests, I have things discreetly hidden in my bookshelves, behind my sofa, which are aligned and positioned in certain dynamic harmonics, which create exactly the same effect as Stonehenge.
Hmm.
good fun, isn't it?
Kind of an astronomical calendar in your living room.
there is that as well.
Well, you know, I mean, of course, Stonehenge, now you've brought up one of my favorite subjects, too, because I've been in there many times and led some very fascinating groups, and the energy is so multidimensional, as I know you're aware of, so it can be this wonderful laboratory or a library of the different levels of Earth.
Stonehenge is a very interesting place. It's it grew from a simple mound into what it is today, and it's the classic example of a temple that was used over 8,000 years for a myriad of uses, and it just kept growing, which is why people like the antiquarian John Michel finally figured out that the location and the positioning of all those rocks and those horseshoes of Stonehenge are all encoding different types of sacred geometry, because each part of the temple comes alive depending on your intent that you take in there. So let's say the girls want to go there and do some female worship for whatever reason, you'll find that only the inner horseshoe and the central series of the sarsen stones will actually come alive. The rest of the temple goes back to sleep. You only activate parts of the temple that you need at a specific time, but as you probably know, if you go in there to work with sound, it's the entire temple that gets activated. And you can actually hear the difference in pitch of sound around the temple. And, the temple is surrounded by two very busy roads. But if you hit the right pitch in that temple, you will find that the acoustics change very, very quickly. And you are entering into your own portal. And
transported.
Be careful what you take in there, because it will be magnified many, many times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I've led groups, and we were chanting very powerful chants into Stonehenge, and boy, it was incredible. Anyway, I'm going to ask callers to call in now, because we have a few more minutes to go, and I do want to give you the option to ask Freddie questions, anything to do with the crop circles. Or the sacred sites as well. And we know that the crop circles have found England specifically because of the incredible sacred sites that are there. And there are a number of reasons, actually. The water aquifers in England are very plentiful as well. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's actually very important because everybody said, well, why did England get the biggest number of crop circles? Well, it's interesting that Canada and the Canadian and the American prairie, they get the second largest number of crop circles in the world. And if you look at the geology underlying both areas, they are both identical. One is a limestone aquifer and the other one is a chalk aquifer. And both chalk and limestone are chemically linked. So if you look at the way the homeopathy works, it's very interesting. When you have all of this energy from the circles that imprints itself, and it is doing so in the water of southern England, because we've proved this by burying bottles of water in the circles, taking them to France and having them analyzed, and we've found that the water is potentized at the genuine designs. If you take that to its logical conclusion, you will find that the energy of the water is imprinted and it goes through the aquifer. It goes into the streams and the rivers and the oceans and the seas around the world. And if you understand homeopathy and how it works, that if you take four drops of an original solution, and the more times you dilute it, the more powerful it gets, and the more it retains its original memory. So if you think about the crop circles imprinting one design, just one design in a field in southern Britain or in the North American prairie, all of that information of the crop circle and its energy is actually going around the world, which is made up of two-thirds water. And because the human body is also made of two-thirds water, then think about the implications of what it's doing to all of us.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite of all the designs over the years? Is there one that just pops out?
Now, that's a cruel question.
We can name several.
For different reasons. Probably the one where I had my experience where I was sort of taking it across the veil. I mean, it's something that I certainly wasn't asking for and I wasn't expecting. It also happens to be a beautiful design, and it was from 1997. 1997, August the 1st, I believe, or July the 31st, and it was in Etchell Hampton. And it seems that whenever anything gets put into that field in Wiltshire in England, it seems to get my attention. So I've been calling it my field for a while. And,
is that the one that was almost half a mile long?
No, it was actually, I know the one you mean. It was the following year from that one.
And oh,
this was the next one. It was a, when I got there, I almost remember this bright as daylight. I got there with a friend of mine and I said, this is an Atlantium 6 pointed star. And of course you can't, you don't know what the geometry is because you haven't seen it from the air. I mean, you can't make these things out from the ground. And my friend says, what is a 6 pointed Atlantium star? And I said, I have no idea. But it sounded good. I just recognized the shape, even though I couldn't make the whole thing out. And, of course, when you look at it from above, it looks like a six-pointed pinwheel spinning around. It's absolutely beautiful. There's a picture on my website, actually, and I talk about it extensively in Chapter 12 of my book because it was very personal. And it's more personal because and special because I wasn't expecting anything to happen, which, of course, makes it even the more important. But there's been so many. There's been the Triple Julia at Windmill Hill with its three big spiraling arms. I was there at 5:30 in the morning, and believe me, I'm genetically indisposed to getting up early in the morning. But I made an exception for this, and it was the most incredible sight. It looked like you were standing in the middle of a slice of cheese made by God. It was just holes everywhere, but it was beautiful.
Each centerpiece was different. That was the phenomenal thing about
that.
And it was like they alternated between clockwise and counterclockwise directions for the spiral.
I mean, it was work of art.
It was.
Like watching the Sistine Chapel made out of wheat. It was quite something.
In that year, they had the Julia fractal, just the single spiral at Stonehenge.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of that?
I'm very impressed. I was even more impressed with the eyewitness accounts because, again, Team Satan, circle makers, as they call themselves, they claim to have made that one. Well, interesting logistics because it happened in bright daylight in a 15-minute period where in between the time that the guards go around Stonehenge, every 15 minutes, 1 minute it wasn't there, 15 minutes later it was, and the guards certainly know what they're doing. These are ex-Green Beret-type troops. They know what to look for, and when you stand at Stonehenge, you can see that field in bright as daylight. You also have the eyewitness account from a pilot who flew over that field at 5:15, lands in the field about a mile away, reported nothing. Next pilot comes along. 15 minutes later, there it is. So clearly, if people made this, they were experimenting with invisibility as well as levitation. So we can discount that account totally. But it was the impressive nature of the design, the curling nature, the spiraling motion, as well as its ability to absolutely pinpoint one of the major magnetic lines that links Stonehenge to other sites around Britain, which is important.
Yeah,
which, again, brings us to another distinction between man-made and real. Because
talk
the
about
real
the dragon ley lines.
Well, this is the whole thing. All the genuine designs, without exception, just like every single temple in the world, always appear on top of the crossing lines of the Earth's magnetic lines of energy. This is something that no man-made design has been able to do. And also, it's interesting to note that the designs, also the dimensions, will be exactly to the width of the magnetic line at that particular moment in time. Because these lines, they not only behave like serpents, they meander around the landscape, but they also exhale and inhale. So they'll always be different every season. And if you look at the idea that the crop circles are energetic forms which are imprinting themselves on these magnetic lines of energy, again, the repercussions are incredible because the lines connect to every single sacred site in the world. So you can see the resurgence of interest that is coming up in ancient sacred space around the world may be due in fact that something is imprinting itself on the Earth's magnetic grid. And people, you know, we being animals, for lack of a better word, we're tuning in on this, we're picking up on this change, and we're gravitating to these ancient sacred sites.
Do you think we're helping it, too? There's a part of...
Oh, I think there is.
The
I think we are helping.
Yeah.
Because the sites, a lot of the sites around the world were shut down many thousands of years ago because they were going to be misused. Humanity was going to go for a period of 4,000 years where it would lose its connection to the sacred, which is, you know, the time, of course, is changing now. And I believe that part of this awakening process is leading people to go back to the ancient sacred sites to learn the connection to nature and also to other levels of reality. And this is also a very important reason why all the genuine circles, no matter where they appear around the world, and this is 29 countries now, they always appear beside ancient sacred sites. Even here in North America, they always appear beside ancient sacred sites. And I believe that's a connection they're trying to get us to make. They're trying to get us to go back to the land.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like it was like a roadmap for me, anyway, to understand sacred sites better whenever I would go to a crop circle, because I knew that, okay, that means I should check out what this area is about here, and
precisely,
you know, and then connect to it. And it's really a soul level connection. It felt to me quite literally like I was returning to England because lifetimes I'd lived there and left something in the earth for myself to then reconnect to in this lifetime. And very powerful energies of, you know, sacred inner worlds, in other words. And so that's, for me, that's been the incredible journey.
A land that's very well tended over there. I mean, people still, despite the cynicism that the English do have towards everything and the land, I guess because when you're there, you have so much of it, you pay less attention to it.
Exactly.
But people still take care of it. The paganism, the Celtic structure is still alive and well. And if you go to places which are a bit off the beaten track, like in Wales or Devon, Cornwall, you go to the sacred sites there and also in Ireland, they are still honored. People go there, they take care of it, they tend it, they leave offerings.
It's owned by the public. That's the other thing. That's why it's so accessible, these crop circles that we've been able to see easily, actually, in England. Whereas here in the United States, you know, these are all privately owned big corporation farms, and you know, it's unlikely that we even hear about half of the crop circles that are going on here.
Yeah, and that's the crux of the matter, isn't it? I mean, it's also again highlighting how everything's become very personalized and very egocentrically driven for control and for money or for power, and it again highlights the whole problem that we're having with our civilization right here.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, you know, we in the States, who do sort of influence much of the world and what goes on around it, the level of responsibility that we've taken on as a culture, and I say that as me as well, I'm a taxpayer here, so obviously I'm part of this, we have to understand that we have a huge responsibility, and of course the repercussions of what we do individually and politically are enormous. So the change, I think,
all of our core institutions in this country are failing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we have
good reason for
been
that.
So disconnected. Yeah.
There's a very good reason for that. I think it goes back to the idea of chaos, that in order to get to another level of reality, you have to go into a state of chaos. And you know, natural events highlight the inability of government to look after its people. So, again, more people turn against the government. The whole thing is really designed to achieve that effect. Either we do it on our own, or natural elements will begin to actually conspire to create the problems which will get us to see that we actually need to do to invoke a change.
Yeah,
so it's all part of a very big plan.
Oh,
even
I
disasters have a purpose to them.
And it is just really building that matrix of our own field of really believing in this divine plan that's really going to save the day, and not getting so focused on the old matrix of fear and control with fear.
Exactly. Or as the Hopi used to say, we're the ones we've been waiting for.
Yeah, we are. That's right. And so I guess we're not going to get any calls today. That's too bad, but, you
Everybody's
know.
Everybody's mesmerized.
Huh?
They're all mesmerized.
They are. They just want to have us keep talking. So is there anything you want to add before? I'm going to do a very special meditation that will kind of help us to tune into the crop circles and the high frequencies of love and light. So before I do that, why don't you give us again your website and a way to contact you and anything else you want to add?
Sure. You can certainly go on two of my websites. There's cropcirclesecrets.org, for which you'll be there for days and days looking at information. Looking at pictures, and there'll be a wonderful book there, and a couple of excellent DVDs to follow up on, one of which you can only get from my website. And there are also some crop circle resonance cards for you to play with and have some, take a look at that. And also, I also have another website, which is at invisibletemple.com, which begins to make the connections between the crop circles and sacred space in a bigger sense of the word, and to understand what sacred space is and what it does for us, and most importantly, to us. So have fun in there.
Oh, Freddie, it's been so much fun, and you are so articulate, and I love your accent.
Oh, it's transatlantic. I have three nationalities, so it's all very confusing.
Well, you're here with us now in the United States, and we're lucky to have you. So are you going to be coming to the West Coast anytime soon for a lecture?
Oh, I've been dreaming of moving to San Francisco for years. I'm just waiting for the right apartment to show up that's not $1,600 a month.
Come to San Diego. Come down south. The southern part of California.
California. There's something about San Francisco I just adore. It reminds me a lot of Lisbon, near which I was born in Portugal. It's the same structure. We even have the same Golden Gate Bridge in Lisbon. So there's something about the energy there I just adore. So who knows? But I'm always going around the world. In fact, just keep checking on my presentations page on my website, and you'll find out where I'm going throughout the country or throughout the world. And if anybody wants to organize a lecture or a workshop for me, do let me know via my website.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you, Freddie Silva. And we'll go to your website and the Crop Circle Secrets.org. And now we're going to take a moment just to let yourself relax and take in this wonderful energy that we've been talking about of the crop circles. And let's do a meditation, a short one. We only have about 4 minutes. So let's just relax and see yourself in a field of wheat. Let yourself imagine what a crop circle field would look like. And this wonderful energy of the cereal grain that's called wheat. And feel at peace and calm as you're drifting across the field, floating above the field. Let go of any of your concerns, the burdens, the thoughts of the day. Let them go for now. And just continue to allow your thoughts to drift by like dreams. And suddenly you hear a tone. Then you hear another tone. And you look around, and before you is a ball of glowing white light. And you slowly enter the ball of light, and its energies are embracing you with love. And you're now a part of that energy. And you're slowly floating above the field, looking below you. And in a moment, a wonderful formation is going to appear. Just start to look below you now and get a sense of this energy floating over the field. And then a wonderful image comes to mind of a crop circle. Just let that image appear behind your eyes. The energy now is appearing in the field below you. And you continue to move in this wonderful ball of light, moving across the field. And you study the pattern below you. And welcome the multidimensional, higher spiritual energies. And you place yourself within the pattern now, within that field, connecting to the energies and its meaning. And breathe that in. And this pattern pattern begins to awaken something within your being, something that you need to know at this time. Perhaps it's coming from your higher self, coming through the doorway of your unconscious mind. Perhaps you'll get more information when you dream tonight. And you relax and enjoy the energies and the tones of the pattern. It's very healing. It helps to balance and cleanse your chakras, clearing them of any debris, any old negative energy. Just let that go. Enjoy the peace of mind that this pattern is bringing you. And you can invoke the energies of this wonderful crop circle anytime within your day. And just breathe that in and gently now coming back into wherever you are, the room, the place you're located, your body is located. Travel back all the way into the body with this new high frequency of love and light. Balance. And when you return, you might want to draw your crop circle on a piece of paper. And perhaps you'll even see that pattern appear in the fields or in your dreams. Okay. Come all the way back into full awareness. And thank you, everyone. It's been a joy. And I will be back online in 2 weeks, and we'll have Sherry Edwards, who is going to be speaking about bioacoustics, wonderful healing information. So thank you, Freddie, and we'll talk to you soon, I hope. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad in Berlin, Germany.